Welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. This is episode 55.
Welcome everybody. We have an amazing guest on the show today, someone that has been inspiring us for so long and has taught us so much just from her content on Instagram, what she shares, everything she stands for. She is a real life goddess, guys. She is an absolute queen, Amy Rushworth, and we are so excited to introduce you to her today with a seriously, seriously juicy conversation.
Yes, Amy is literally like the definition of empowerment. She's like, she inspires us so much. And I am genuinely honored that we got to speak to her. Like, it's such an amazing conversation. Can't wait for you all to hear it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Literally, we were buzzing after the interview because we spoke about everything that we've been thinking about so much recently. And it was just amazing to speak about it with somebody who's so far ahead on their, you know, like journey of self-love and female empowerment and everything. It was just so inspiring. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear it.
Also, guys, don't forget there's only a few days left to purchase your tickets for our self-love webinar on the 21st of March. We are so excited and we're so happy with how many people have already bought a ticket. It's going to be an amazing night, all to do with self-love, basically all about our self-love journeys, all the things we've been through, all our top tips. We're going to cover so many things such as relationships, self-sabotage, body positivity. It is going to be such a buzzing night and it's just going to kickstart your self-love journey, like no matter where you are on that journey. I literally cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. Self-love literally is the key to flourishing in all areas of your life and, you know, drawing in what you want. We've got a big section of the workshop about manifesting and how self-love is literally key to manifesting. You cannot successfully manifest unless you're embodying self-love. So we go through all of that. It's just going to be beautiful and I just can't wait. And there's so many people coming who... who I've not, like, some people, like, you recognize their names from Instagram, but there's a lot of you guys that we've never obviously connected with before, so we're really excited to spend the evening with you. It's going to be so nice.
Yeah, like whenever I think about it, I get so excited.
Yeah, so if you want to grab your ticket, there's only a few days left to get it. It's on our website, findingyourfeetthepodcast.com. The link is in the show notes and it's just live on Zoom. So all you need to do is just be free on Sunday night, the 21st of March, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. Bring a notebook and get ready for a beautiful evening of learning everything self-love.
Yeah, and if any of you have any questions at all before you purchase a ticket, just come and message us on Instagram. We're very happy to help.
Yeah. So we just want to read out our Apple Podcast review of the week. This week's review is from Shannon Hales. She says, "My go-to feel-good pod. I came across this podcast via Instagram. By far now one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. It's given me extra inspiration on my journey to finding myself, growth and self-love. Thank you for sharing all your self-loving tips and knowledge with us. You're both so beautiful inside and out. You're doing great."
That is such a lovely review. The reviews literally make my day every time they come through.
Yeah, so nice. I'm so glad that we've been helping you on your journey to loving yourself and growing as a person. Thank you for leaving the review. It's very kind of you. If you guys want to be featured in Review of the Week next week, all you need to do is go onto Apple Podcasts, scroll down on our profile and leave us some feedback for your chance to be featured in Review of the Week next week and we'll read yours out at the beginning of the episode. Also, love that you discovered us from Instagram, Shannon. That's fun. So if you guys don't follow us on Instagram, come and follow us at Finding Your Feet Podcast. We are there every day posting inspiring, fun things. So come and join our community on there as well. But before we get into the juicy chat with Amy, we just have a quick word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. That's help, H-E-L-P. And we are so proud to be partnering up with a company whose mission it is to help you start living a happier life today.
Yes, BetterHelp is a professional online counseling service and they'll set you up with a therapist in under 48 hours. They have a huge range of expertise so you can find the right therapist for you. And even if it turns out that you're not too keen on the therapist you're originally paired with, you can actually change for free.
BetterHelp is a professional, secure online counseling service available for clients all over the world. You can access your account anytime and contact your therapist and you will always receive a really quick response. You can easily set up weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist and get the support you need from the comfort of your own home. No awkward waiting rooms or traveling to your appointments. You can literally just be in your bedroom with a laptop or a phone and get this professional support from a licensed therapist.
Yes, and it's also way more affordable than your traditional offline counseling, and there are over a million people using BetterHelp today. They receive incredible reviews, which you can go and check out for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews.
And as you all know, because this is something I've discussed openly on the podcast before, I've invested in therapy over the years and it's literally been life-changing for me. There's no better investment than in yourself. And anytime I've gone through periods of seeking professional counseling to work on my inner world, my outer world becomes completely unrecognizable. And that is because therapy literally transforms how you feel and behave, and you level up so much. And we know that so many of you listen to our podcast because you want to improve your state of mind and level up your own life. So if you want to take your mental health to a new level and get the support and guidance you need from a professional counselor, then join BetterHelp. And with our link, that our listeners will get 10% off their first month of therapy. All you need to do is go to the link betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. We've put the link in the show notes. You can easily go down there and get started. You'll fill out a questionnaire just so they can get a picture about who you are and what your needs. They can match you with the perfect therapist in just 2 days. But there's literally no shame in therapy. It's just like taking your mind to the gym, and you are so worth investing in the support if you need it. But that's all for now. Let's get into today's episode.
Before we get into this amazing interview, just want to give you a quick trigger warning, as there is mention of sexual abuse within this episode.
We also recommend that whilst you're listening to this episode, you have your phone nearby to maybe write some notes in your app, or if you have a journal, to just jot some things down, because Amy does bring a lot of new ideas to the table of ways that might actually heal you, that you want to explore further, that you've never heard of before.
Okay, so I'd like to start by welcoming our guest, Amy Rushworth. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on our show.
Thank you for having me. It's really good to connect with you both.
Yeah, it's great. We are so inspired and empowered by you. We love everything you stand for, so we're really excited to get into it. But if you could just start by please telling us a little bit about what you do and how you got into this field of work.
Yeah, it's a long story. It's like almost how do you even condense all of these years of happenings and work and all of the things that led to where I am. But where I am now is I'm a transformation and healing priestess. I'm a coach. I'm a bit of a witch. I'm a teacher, a space holder. And at the core and heart of everything I do is I help women to awaken their dreams, to embody deeper self-love, to create embodied levels of abundance in their reality, in their businesses, helping them to find their dharma. And at the core of all that, it's really about true empowerment spiritually, emotionally, physically, for all the feminine beings on this planet. And what led me here, I guess, I mean, I've had like a total identity shift over the years, and I'm always shifting and changing, but it actually started, I guess, from a point of rock bottom with my mental health. And I used to have no spiritual connection or no idea about personal development or manifestation or having a relationship with God and goddesses and spirit guides and all the things that I'm so into now. And I had undiagnosed PTSD for a long time and repressed memories and things like that. And that kind of all erupted when I was about 23, and I couldn't keep a lid on it anymore. I was like really good at kind of pretending everything was fancy and fine and all good. I was always the one that was smiling on the outside, always showing up for everyone else. But I was really struggling behind the scenes with addictions, distorted relationship with my body, with exercise, with food, drugs, you know, relationship stuff. It was really, really bad. And so that kind of spiraled down into the rock bottom at 23. And that's when I started rebuilding the pieces of myself, my life, and I chose a different way. And so in a really kind of short way of saying it, that's when I started like looking for something more and figuring out, who am I? Who do I want to be? How do I want to relate to myself? And what kind of life do I want? So I took back control, and eventually I became who I am now. And I hold the space for other people to do this as well, and I show them the way.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. It's so inspiring when you hear like from people like you, who how you show up online, where you just are so sure of yourself, like full of confidence, and your boundaries, like everything you've got, that your level of self-love, like is just what so many women like aspire to have. And it's just so inspiring to hear from where you went from to hear like just that power of transformation, like for other people to hear that, who will look at you online and think, wow, I'd love to be that way, to just know that it's possible.
Yeah, totally. I think sometimes people look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, you are so confident. Like, you are so in your power. I could never be like that. But I would challenge anyone who says that, because honestly, I would have looked at myself once upon a time or someone like me and been like, I would never be able to do that or to show up with that kind of presence. You know, I used to think of myself as a bit of a mess and definitely a doormat. Like, I never would have actually, you know, been very outspoken or really said the things that I was thinking or feeling. So it's really just like about giving yourself permission. And sometimes it's really good to have people who you look at online or who inspire you as that permission slip until you're ready to sign it for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, seeing people like you online just really does, yeah, it just shows what is possible. And like what you said, this permission slip thing, that it's okay to fully step in your power as a woman and unapologetically be you and be everything that you want to stand for. It's very, very inspiring. So thank you for always how you show up online, because I'm sure that I don't know, like, that many people would even like tell you. You probably have such an impact on so many people, that more than you even like realize, just from being how you are, like, unapologetically. It's so good to see.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, sometimes, because you think about it, right? Like, I follow so many people online who I love. And then if I actually ask myself, have I ever reached out and told them or said anything? I'm like, no, like, some of my favorite people. And so my love language is words of affirmation. So every now and then I do get DMs from people being like, you've changed my life. Like, thank you for saying this. Or, you know, they've heard my podcast and they've been like, this one thing that I've said has really impacted them. It's really meaningful to hear that, because I'm just a human being. You know what I mean? You never see yourself the way other people see you. And so sometimes people, like, even, my marketing manager, she's got friends who follows me, and she's always like, they always ask me about you and they can't believe I work for you. And I'm like, that is so weird to me, because, like, I'm just in my body and my life just thinking, like, I hope I'm making a difference. I hope I'm, like, inspiring these people online. So it's really nice to hear you say that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, inspiring so many people. So your style of, like, coaching, I've heard you talk about online a lot, that a lot of your work is like part of like somatic healing, so working with the body, breath work and things like that. How did you end up going down, like, that being sort of your big area of how you work with people, more like working in the body? Because I feel like more people are just used to thinking of a coach and they just think, oh, it's more just speaking, talking. So yeah, I'd love to hear some more about, like, the power of breath work and dancing. So you've obviously always got on your stories, like, doing a dancing and everything like that. And that is such, like, a powerful thing, especially for women to do. And I think a lot of women don't really understand, like, the power of just intuitive dancing and stuff like that, and how healing that can be.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, a lot of coaches do work with the mind, right? And it is a part of it, and therapy is using the mind and talking and accessing memories, but, and all those things are amazing, but I think those things are amazing or more amazing when they're in tandem with the body-based piece or the bottom-up approach that we might refer to it as. For me, in human design, I'm a projector, so, you know, for anyone who's into human design, my thing or my dharma is to follow what lights me up, try all the different things, and then transmute that into medicine for others, sharing it with others based on what I've tried and known and loved. So for me, you know, my journey of healing and mental health began with, you know, the traditional pathways of therapy and then coaching. And then I was reading lots of personal development, you know, diving into Wayne Dyer and the law of attraction and stuff. But then I reached this plateau where I think a lot of people resonate with this, where it's like, okay, cool. I'm like feeling really good. I know that I have this certain level of control over my reality and my thinking, but I had these deeper traumas that I wanted to move through. And for me, like, a big piece around this was that I had sexual trauma from my childhood and actually throughout, you know, my teenage years and then early adulthood as well. And many women do. And I could mentally understand it. I could mentally go through this process of forgiveness, but because I had been really disassociated as a result of what had happened to me, I wanted to get deeper in touch with my body. And that's just not something that was going to happen through a conversation. And so I started exploring, you know, what's beneath this? What are the deeper layers of this? How does this show up? And for me, it was really showing up in my throat chakra. And it's really interesting if you listen to meditations that I recorded several years ago versus now, the tone of my voice is completely different and it has a different sound because of all of this healing. One of my clients listened to one the other day and she's like, oh, who's that meditation by? And I'm like, it's my voice, you know, and she knows my voice and she's like, no way. So I started exploring things and I was exploring different things. I was exploring using my voice in a very like normal sense, you know, like sharing what had happened to me, you know, talking to other people, showing up on social media, sharing hard experiences so that they could inspire other people. But I was also looking at breath work. I was looking at Tantra. I was looking at all these different body-based practices and just kind of seeing like, what are the ones that are really making a difference for me? And then because I was like, wow, this work is so powerful and it's so different to working with the mind, I started, you know, training in some of these modalities and trying it with my clients. And I was like, yes, this is the thing. Because I always had this desire with my coaching clients to take them into deep levels of transformation. Like that's just who I am and what I love to do. I love to have like deep conversations with people and get down into the nitty gritty. Like my worst nightmare is when I go to a wedding and I don't know anyone and everyone's like, I don't know, works in finance. They're like, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, oh my God, what are we about to talk about? You know, like the small talk is just not me. And so I had the same thing with my clients. I was like, okay, I can help you with your nutrition and your stress levels. And we can talk about what's going on and your limiting beliefs. But I want to know, like, what are the deeper blocks? What are the deeper imprints around this? Because I want to change your life. I don't want to just change your life for 6 months while we work together. I want you to have a complete reality shift. And so some of these tools started allowing me to do that. And I saw the transformation in these women that I was working with. And so now I'm just kind of obsessed with body-based wisdom and I work a lot with like feminine and masculine energies within the body as well. And all of these pieces are not necessarily accessed through these traditional ways of healing and, you know, mental wellness that the mainstream really celebrates and promotes, but it allows really, really crazy levels of healing for people.
That is so interesting because I feel like it's something that's not, it's not as big as it. Like the actual like mental well-being is obviously spoken about a lot and it makes me sad sometimes because I think a lot of people can go to like therapy and work through things and they might still have these blocks and they can't quite figure out. But then when you hear people like you speak and this all this work with the body, you think, well, maybe they're actually holding the trauma within the body.
Yeah, they are a lot of the time, right? Because you think about it. From this point of view, even let's look at it through a more scientific lens for people who are like more logical in that regard. Your body actually sends a lot more signals to your brain than your brain does to your body. And think about when you have a really traumatic or distressing thing that happens to you. For example, say someone's about to like punch you in the face, right? What do? You don't think about it. Your body goes into an instinctual reaction or fear-based response. And for some people, for example, you know, if you freeze and you hold everything in the body and you do what you need to do to survive. Now, if we saw an animal that was in a life or death situation, you notice that usually the animal will spend quite a long time shaking after something like this. And it's because the body is removing the shock, it's releasing the shock, and the movement is allowing that energy to move so that that animal isn't then like, you know, traumatized every single time something happens like that in the wild. But human beings, we don't, it's getting better now. But generationally and traditionally, people don't talk about things. You know, therapy was still really stigmatized until recently, and it still is in some cultures and some parts of our society. And so we experience these visceral reactions to distressing experiences and we hold it in, we don't talk about it, we don't move it. And so where does it go? It remains. For anyone who's really interested in this, if this is like, well, okay, breakthrough, there's an amazing book you can read called The Body Keeps the Score. It's amazing. And there's another book as well, which is like a second piece of this by this incredible guy called Mark Willen. He's a psychiatrist. And this is the imprints that are in the body from our ancestors. So this is proved by science now, epigenetics. If you have ancestors, so like your great grandmother, or it could be anyone in your lineage who has had a significant trauma, you know, it could be a war, it could be like a specific thing that happened to them, that can actually imprint in your DNA and express itself depending on your environment and different factors. So all of these things are locked in the wisdom and the cells of our body. And, you know, that's why it's amazing to go to therapy, but it's like explore different things as well. And there are certain things that I would totally still just go to therapy for, but it's like, if it's not working for you, you're still finding that something is blocked and you can't quite put your finger on it. Maybe it's not something that you mentally remember, but maybe your body remembers it. So let's play with that and let's use a holistic approach to try and find out how you can heal or, you know, move through whatever is obstructing your way to peace or calmness or happiness.
Yeah, it's so interesting. What you were saying about the ancestral trauma and how that, you know, manifests itself into our actual body. Obviously, a lot of your work as well is on like female pleasure and empowering women to just really step into like their sexuality and everything, and, you know, dropping the shame. And I think as women, there's been so much ancestral trauma around like shame with our sensual side. And a lot of your work is around that. So I'd love to hear some more of your thoughts on how you work with women in that sense. And, you know, in terms of like the dancing, like how that is very healing for getting rid of the sexual shame that so many of us feel just for being women.
Yeah. I mean, we all have these different things and these deep layers inside of us as women, right? You know, even like today, I've been so sad about everything that's been happening in the UK with this poor woman, Sarah Everard. Mm. You know, I've been so distressed all day. Like, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to come to this interview because my body has been feeling it. And I know that so many women right now, especially in the UK, are like in this deep anger or this deep sadness because we feel it, because we're connected, but also because we've been conditioned from, you know, the moment we were born, and then our ancestors from before we're even born, like that it's not safe to be in our bodies as women, right? Mm. Because if we're going to be sexual, it's only going to be safe if it's for, you know, the male gaze, or it's going to be unsafe if it's for the male gaze. And look at some of the most, I guess, triggering women in society right now. It's women who are like owning their sexuality for themselves. And it makes people really angry because it's like, well, you're not allowed to do that. Right? So there's this huge like paradox that goes on unconsciously within us all. And our society perpetuates it as well in these distorted versions of sexuality. So one of the deeply healing things that I love about doing sexuality work, and this is what happens inside of my juicy group programs, is allowing women to reclaim this as a safe space for themselves. So thinking of your body as this beautiful temple, and it's not a temple that we decorate for other people or for men or for like an outside gaze or, you know, financial gain in any way, but it's like, this is your body. This is where your soul chose to live in this lifetime. And, you know, you have a clitoris and it's got 8,000 nerve endings and it exists. Like, the clitoris doesn't have any other role except to provide you pleasure. Like, it's not even a functional thing. It's like literally there for you to experience bliss and pleasure in your body. But I think for so long, like, our bodies haven't really been ours. You know, it's like your body is for your children, right? For birthing your children and then they're breastfeeding off you, or it's for your husband, you know, and different religions perpetuate this as well. But actually, how radical and how empowering is it to be like, my body is for me. I create pleasure for me, you know, and pleasure is healing as well. Very, very healing. Orgasms are healing. They clear your energy out. They clear your chakras out. They heal the body. They lower your stress levels. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this work. And a lot of the rituals inside of my programs, they're not like journaling and, you know, talking about, you know, oh, this is how it felt when I used my yoni egg or I did this. It's like, no, get in your body, dance for 45 minutes while I like guide you through and feel the emotions rise, feel the energy rise, shake it out. And there's so much untapped wisdom in a woman's body. Even the women who come into my programs, they know they're in for a ride, and I can't share any of this on social media because, of course, it's sacred, it's private. But some of them are just like, Amy, oh my God, like I had no idea that this kind of sensation, this kind of feeling, this kind of orgasm, this kind of empowerment is available. And all of the women in the programs that I do, I've got one at the moment that's in session called Pleasure Empress, they're all using their voices a lot more in their lives. So some of them have been afraid to ever show up on social media. They're showing up on social media because when you empower your womb space, you empower your voice, which is why when I healed my sexual trauma, my voice changed and my voice got more and more powerful online. And it makes sense, right? Like women are the sex that are afraid to speak their truth more than men in general, right? We're afraid if we speak up that something will happen to us. We're afraid if we're too sexy, something will happen to us. So how beautiful and empowering is it if we can all create collectively a world where women can be in their power, in their pleasure, and in their voice?
Wow, that's literally so interesting. The way it is all like interconnected as well, like with your sensuality and then like your voice and everything like that. But for someone listening that's like, wow, maybe I have always kind of like appeared for the male gaze and now I want to take ownership of my body and appear for myself. Where would you say people even start with like owning their own sexuality and yeah, sensuality and not so much, yeah, for the male gaze, owning it for themselves?
Yeah, I really resonate with that as well because, I mean, as I said, I had sexual trauma in my childhood. And so my first experience of my sexuality and my body was being violated, right? And it was like, you know, for the opposite sex, for a man. And it was like, okay, my body is a performance. My body is to be used, right? And so this pattern played out all, you know, through teenagehood and then into adulthood. It was like men can treat me however, and I'm just glad that they're attracted to me, you know? And I had to start rewriting this for myself. I really had to start thinking about, okay, like my body is for me. And there's many ways that you can do this. So I think it's finding always like what is the way that resonates for you, because just because someone else loves a certain ritual, if you don't like it, then like, you got to find your thing. But one of the things that I love is using the yoni egg. So using a jade egg, or even just like if you don't want to use something like that, but it's, you know, a crystal or a glass egg that you put up inside of your vagina and you do a meditation and you just take some time for that space in your body to send some love there. Some people are afraid to do that because some people are afraid to put their fingers in their own vagina, which to me is like really sad because it's this beautiful part of your body. But if that is you, you can totally start where you're at, where you're ready to start. And maybe it's just like every day, just put your hands over your yoni, over your womb space and just, you know, send a few loving breaths there and just say, I love you, or just say, I see you. Or you can also use it if you want to start following your intuition more, right? So if you're trying to like go on this journey to follow more of your intuitive guidance, put your hand over that space and be like, what do you think, right? There's a voice down there. And a lot of people think that's wild. But then, you know, the women by the end of my programs who thought it was really weird, they're like, oh, my yoni told me to do this today. Or my womb told me to say no to that. And there is a pulse and a consciousness down there. And if anyone who doesn't believe that, just think about every human on the planet came from there, right? So all life, which is so complex and so intricate and so magic and mysterious, comes from the depths of a woman's womb. So like to say that that part of your body doesn't have this beautiful consciousness in there is just completely wild, right? It's just so unrealistic to think it. So it's just finding ways that you can start to honor that part of your body, or even just your tummy, right? Like a lot of women have like hang-ups about their tummy. I know I have for like years and years and years. And so you can even just do self-massage, like just get some beautiful oil every day after your shower, massage your tummy and just say, I love you. I love the way you feel. I love how squishy you are. You know, I love that you digest all of these, you know, beautiful favorite meals that I eat. Or if it's your breasts, you can spend some time massaging your breasts, which is really good to do anyway because it opens your heart. And just start creating a loving relationship with how your body feels as opposed to how it looks. Because most women, you know, and I put myself in this category too, have been conditioned since we were born to just think about how we look, right? And to try and avoid aging and to just always be on show. But how do we actually want to feel in our bodies?
Wow. That's so beautiful to hear you speak about loving your body in that way. Because I feel like so many women, when they listen to this episode and hear you say all of that, will be like, oh my God, I feel like light bulbs would be going off in their mind. Because for our whole life, we've literally been made to feel that our bodies aren't enough as they are, and they aren't for us, and that we need to look a certain way, like for the male gaze, to be attractive, to be validated. And then we are like totally shut away from, and as well from hearing people like you who are, you know, brave enough to come out online and say all of these things. So I'm sure that you probably get some, maybe even women that are triggered by you, or men that are triggered by you, that are like, don't want to hear you speak about, you know, yourself in that way and like your body in that way. But you just saying all that, like even just your words of it coming out right now, like it's just so healing to hear. Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense when you like hear you say that, like you can feel your own body just when you listen to your words. It's like, yeah, that's what you need to do. So it's just it's amazing. But and it makes so much sense, like when you explain that, like how we are womb birth to life. That is the most powerful thing ever. So of course there's going to be, you know, a voice down there, a consciousness, like intuition, and that, and we do just ignore that part of us so much, just from literally as we're raised, like we're just raised to be shut off from that. And so many women go through their whole life remaining shut off from that. And yeah, and then you stop yourself from finding your voice and all those things that you said, like it is really, really interconnected. But I'm hearing a lot of people speak as well about how much your like sexual energy is connected with like your life force energy and like your money energy and all that stuff. I've heard you say it. I've heard quite a lot of other spiritual leaders say it. And I think that as a concept is quite, people are like, what? Like how? Like, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's like sex magic. I mean, some of my friends, they like get on Zoom together and they like self-pleasure together so they can manifest more money in their businesses, right? It's like, could get really wild. But it makes sense, right? So let's start with the life force energy piece, right? If sex is at the root of all life, obviously we live in a modern society where there are IVF babies and things like that. So I don't want to be like not inclusive, but physiologically, right, the way that human bodies are designed is so that sex, you know, a sexual exchange, sexual intercourse and an orgasm, ejaculation can potentially create a baby, right? So, and then that creates a human. And then even if you think of birth, right? If you were hearing someone giving birth in another room, you might not even be sure if they were giving birth or just having some really wild sex, right? It's really primal. There's sounds, there's mess, there's liquids. Like, it's not that dissimilar. And there's lots of women around the world who do orgasmic birthing, by the way, which like people are always like, what is that? And they literally orgasm the baby out. It's like a much less painful process for the woman. But I regress. The root of sexual energy is life force energy, because it's the root of life, right? So if we disown sex, we disown a huge part of life. We disown a huge part of a very natural, innocent thing. We disown desire, right? And so even if you think of like your life's desires, your life's goals, there's a bit of a sexual energy behind it, right? You know, when you really want something, it's like that thirst, that desire. It's not even very different to, you know, when you really are attracted to someone, you're really attracted to your desire. It's that tension of attraction that's like a healthy tension. And so when you start embracing your sexual energy, you're embracing your life force energy, you're embracing your desire as a man, as a woman, as a human. And also the more comfortable you are with sex, the more you're going to be comfortable with other pieces of your life or your reality, right? So I always say to women, you know, if you want to be confident, go do some sexuality work, right? Because then you're not going to be as afraid of all this other stuff, because the sex stuff is probably the deepest, most taboo for you, for most people, right? And again, it's like when you own your womb space, when you heal this space, you're going to heal your throat, your self-expression, your ability to vocalize. And when you can say what you want directly and speak your desires into reality, you're going to embrace more of life, right? Can you imagine how much more of a full life all of us would have if we actually just said what we wanted to say and claimed what we wanted to claim? So they're enmeshed. And then the money piece, I mean, I guess it's probably different, like depending on, you know, whether you're in like, I guess like a normal job, a corporate job, and then a business, you know, like mine, where the manifesting and the money potential is limitless. Like sometimes people are blown away by the amount of money you can earn, like doing some of the things that I do. But I guess at the root of it is, you know, the root of money is abundance and prosperity. And then at the root of sexual energy is abundance and prosperity too, right? Because if you think of if at the root of sex, life can be created, what's more abundant than life, right? What's more abundant than being able to create a human being and, you know, this whole life force that comes inside of that human being and the soul? So, you know, as you embrace, you know, your orgasmic potential, you can expand your potential, you can heal your body, you can heal yourselves, you can create life. And that kind of power is going to resonate in your relationship with money, right? Because money is just a game we play. And the better relationship you have with money, the more money you'll make, the more money will flow into your reality or other forms of abundance, like opportunities, people, synchronicities, you know, all of these things. So they're definitely interrelated, and they're definitely the two most taboo and stigmatized things to talk about in our Western world.
Yeah, we find it funny when you actually think about how much shame people have around sex and money, yeah, when they are like the most things we kind of like want control over and want desire, but yet the most things that when you come up in a conversation, I'm not talking about money, I'm not talking about sex, but it's the one thing that everyone thinks about all the time, and it's like it's crazy how they come together. Mm. But you did touch there on manifesting, and obviously me and Grace are just like obsessed with anything to do with manifesting, law of attraction. I'd love to know more of your thoughts on the importance of the masculine and the feminine when it comes to manifesting.
Yeah, I mean, the way I teach manifestation is kind of different to like a lot of other teachers. I've got a course on this called Cosmic Creatrix, and we really play with the body a lot, because the body is the union of masculine and feminine, or yin and yang energy. Some people resonate more with these terms. So even if you're a woman, even if you're a man or non-binary or whatever you identify as, like these energies are not, even though they have kind of gendered names, it's not about gender. It's about yin and yang. It's about fire and water. It's about darkness and light. It's about the polarity of energies that live in us. And like a yin yang, right? The yin yang is whole because the two opposites, the two contrasting pieces are congruent together. So if we look at manifesting, like, of course you can manifest and set goals and create success just using, say, your masculine energy. Of course you can. But how sustainable and fulfilling is it if you have no feminine desire and creativity inside of it? So the thing is, like, you can create and manifest with techniques or without them. But if you want a more holistic, congruent, authentic, really yummy, really satisfying way of getting to your goals, making them feel really good in your body, then using the two energies together is the smart way to do it, right? So the feminine is like the desire in you. It's like, I want this, I want this, I feel like this, I want more, give me more of that, I love it so much. And the masculine's like, okay, cool, here's how we do it. Like, here's the container for how that's going to happen. Here are the steps. And so if you use one more than the other, like obviously there might be an imbalance in the way that you create what you create. If you're just in your masculine, maybe you just go, 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 you're super linear. And then maybe you start being hard on yourself when you have a low month or things look like they're going backwards because you're only looking at it from a linear point of view. Versus if you're only ever in your feminine energy and you're only doing things when you feel like doing them and when your mood is right, you might not get to the things that you want to get to. You might not be able to create the desires. You might not be in full integrity or showing up for things because you're just going with the flow all the time. So they're stronger together. They're better in union because it's like using the two or dancing between the two to create a really balanced manifestation. And this is why I use the body as well, because it's like playing with these pieces inside of the body, really embodying the feelings of what you want to manifest before it arrives so that you're not freaking out when it's taking a bit of time to arrive in your world. And also moving through any blocks in the body, moving through any trauma in the body, any wounds in the body, because you can have all these manifestation techniques in the world. And if you have unhealed trauma, like, your body will stop you from creating things that are new and expansive because that's intimidating.
Yeah, so interesting. I think so many people get quite, because manifesting is a little bit of like a hot word at the minute. Like a lot of people are like, oh, what is that? Oh, what, I can make all these things come true. And they get very much caught up in the how, what's the logic of it? How does it work? Like, oh, do I need to do this? Do I need to make a vision board? Do I need to script? Do I need to do all these different things? But it's interesting to hear you speak about it in the sense of like literally embodying it, feeling it in your body, and how like actually trauma in your body can block you. So people not really that conscious of things like that. I love as well how you show up energetically with how you live your life and run your business, and you're like open about that on your Instagram. I like watched your live yesterday where you were speaking about how you like to run your business with the way you structure the all the prices on the courses and all these different things that you do. And I feel like so many people just think, all right, if I, to have, you know, an abundance of money and all the clients that I want, or the business success that I want, I just need to hustle and work hard and do this, this and this. And you, it was so refreshing to hear you say, no, like I preserve time for me, like to do all the things that light me up, to fill up my cup, and then I'm fully there for my handful of clients that pay you exactly what you need and all this stuff. And I felt so many people just do not have that kind of mindset, and it was really interesting to hear you speak about that yesterday. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about that and how you, yeah, show up as a coach with your energy in that way.
Yeah, for sure. So I definitely lead my business more in my feminine, but my masculine is there to support. So again, it's this divine union of both. So I can lead my business more from my feminine, which is like, what do I feel like today? What do I want to create? What is my desire? How are my energy levels? Does that align with my schedule today? You know, I would reschedule things if I was on my period, or, you know, I would give myself that full permission. But it's because my business has this like masculine skeleton inside of it that allows my feminine to feel safe and confident and like that she's in control. So, you know, I have systems set up in my business. I have a lot of support in my business. So people probably just think it's just me and my business, but I've got like a full team of, you know, marketing fairies and my personal assistant. And, you know, I delegate anything that I don't enjoy, because I see it as this, like there's plenty of things I outsource that I could do, because a lot of the time I might only be working like 1 or 2 hours a day. And so it's like there's all these hours in the day that I could do it and I know how. But I ask myself, I take it as like an energetic calculation. I'm like, how much do I dislike that? And how am I going to feel after I spend an hour or 2 hours doing that versus paying someone else to do it who's really good at it? It's their zone of genius. So I really have oriented my business where I outsource a lot of this more masculine stuff that requires a lot more energy, maybe a lot more focus, attention to detail. And I really just do the things that I enjoy, the things that I'm good at, the things that are in my zone of genius. I'm very creative. I'm very artistic. I love talking to people. And so I devote myself to those things because those things actually really bring me alive. They enhance my energy and that makes me better at what I do. And it also makes me more magnetic. So when, you know, people say to me that you show up on social media so much and I'm like, yeah, but I feel really good to do that. It's not like I've got 15 minutes between 10 meetings and I'm like, oh, I better quickly come on Instagram. It's like, no, I've had my morning routine. I've like drunk my cacao. I've played with my puppy. I've like self-pleasured. I've like, you know, started work at midday and I get to do that and I can still make amazing money. But this is required like a lot of self-trust and a lot of trust in God and the universe to know that when I lead from a place of self-love and nourishment, and I have the trust to outsource, to spend a lot of money outsourcing, that my value and my abundance will keep increasing. But a lot of people have a fear consciousness around like, oh, well, if I outsource before I have the exact amount of money in my account, then I'm going to end up in debt and then all of this bad stuff's going to happen. But I actually hired my assistant way before I needed her, like, you know, way before I needed to hire someone because I knew I'm not going to be able to get to the next level unless I take this leap. So I'm always taking these leaps because I trust myself, trust the masculine structure of the business. And I also trust myself to figure things out. Like I know that I will never, you know, there's nothing that I can't handle. Even if it was really bad, I'd be able to figure it out. So there's a lot of confidence I think you have to have as an entrepreneur and a lot of self-trust. And you really have to lead yourself. Like I would say I'm very erect in my self-leadership. I lead myself in this business, right? And I don't let anyone tell me what to do. But I'm a Leo, so that's like a very Leo thing, right?
That is amazing. I honestly feel like you're describing the dream life.
Yeah. But
yeah, as you said though, like anyone can achieve that. But obviously I think you have to have that trust. If you don't have trust, especially like you were saying, as having trust, like jumping before you're ready and jumping before you can see the next step. Like if you take that leap and put your faith in the universe and say, I'm ready for the next step, then something's always going to show up, like it's always going to work out. I think that's a really beautiful way to look at it. I would love to talk more about periods, because this is something we've both been thinking about a lot lately, and mainly around the shame that women have around periods, especially growing up. I think we've all been through that. Like in school, it was something like, oh, you don't talk about your periods, something you hide, something that's dirty that you should be ashamed of. But I think it's really interesting, the actual power that can come from our periods. And I did hear one of your podcasts, you were speaking about this, and I remember stopping in the middle of the road because I was like, this is so interesting. I was like, I've never heard anyone talk about this. So I'd love to know more about, the power of our periods and how we can use them to our advantage.
Yeah, I fucking love my period, but I didn't used to, you know, and like, of course not, because like no one ever taught you to love it. So why would you just be like, it's a nuisance, right? But so many things about womanhood have been painted with that same brush of like, oh, it's a nuisance. You know, it's hard being a woman. And it's like, it's actually not hard. It's hard because of the way that society is not built around womanhood, right? Like corporations should let you take time off for your period, right? If you need to, it should be a time of rest if that's what you need. And, you know, I work with different period experts as well in some of my programs. And, you know, what they say is that like periods shouldn't actually be painful. So like any level of pain during your period is a reflection that there's some healing to do. And that's not to say like that, you know, oh, there's something wrong with you, because like I will still get pain during my period, but I use it as a mirror now. So when it is a bit more painful, I'm looking at the blood and noticing that it looks different. I'm like, okay, cool. What's been going on for me for the last month? What emotions have I not been acknowledging in myself? Anger is a big one for a lot of people. You know, you get more angry on your period, many women do. And like, how many of us actually give ourselves permission to express that anger, to move it, to do anger release throughout the month? barely anyone probably. So blood stores emotion. The blood's coming out. What do you think is happening, right? The emotion is leaving your body. And it's amazing that your body is doing that. It's letting it leave so that it's not going to fester inside of you. So when we embrace it, we can start to have a more powerful relationship with it. In the same way, like you can have challenges in your life and you can choose to be like, this is fucked. Why me? I'm upset that this is happening. And you can also choose to be like, okay, yep, this is really hard. I accept what I'm feeling, but also how do I want to relate to this? Do I want this situation to make me stronger? Do I want to take a lesson from this? Do I need a boundary? Like there's so many different ways you can relate to anything. So how do you want to relate to your period? And actually, if you start going down this little rabbit hole that I've been going down for a few years, you'll find that your period is actually magical. The blood is magical. I manifest with the blood. My husband will ask me when I'm bleeding so that he can manifest his business goals. He'll be like, oh, yes, it's the magical week, right? And when I was younger, we used to call it shark week. We'd say it's a shark week because there's so much blood, right? Which is an awful thing to say, but that's what it was to me in the past. So a really good book that's going to explain this in so much more detail than I can on this podcast is a book called Her Blood is Gold by Lara Owen. It's quite an old one, but it talks about all of these ancient traditions and ancient rituals with blood. Women's periods weren't always considered taboo. It wasn't always considered disgusting. It actually would have been an honor for a man to be in your presence at one point in time if you had your period. Women used to use the blood on crops in early agriculture, and all the male farmers were jealous because the plants grew better with the blood. So any of you who kill houseplants, put your menstrual blood on the plants and watch them grow. It works. And, you know, as you can imagine, like, again, coming back to the womb space, this dark portal from which all human beings come from, you know, if life comes from there, your blood comes from there, isn't that just the most sacred thing? And even if you look at, you know, like offerings in religion, like offerings to God, and, you know, in the church, you drink the wine and it symbolizes, you know, the blood of Jesus. And then like originally it was like you offer the blood to the gods in other spiritual traditions. But originally it was menstrual blood in some traditions that they would offer because it was considered like this sacred elixir. So, you know, for some people that this might be too far out of their comfort zone, but I just think it's happening. It's my body. It's healthy. It's natural. It's innocent. Like, how do I want to relate to it? And so I want to relate to my body and every part of my body with honor, with respect. I want to worship every part of myself. So for me, like the menstrual cycle and particularly the bleed is like this beautiful moment in every month for me where I'm like, amazing, I'm fertile, I'm healthy, I'm connected to the feminine energy of the universe, I'm creating life force energy in my body. And I just think that it's just a much more empowering way to relate to my body personally.
Wow. It's so nice to hear you speak about it in that way, because there was just a constant narrative when you grow up that, I've got my period and I hate getting my period. And it's never celebrated, and it's always just, yeah, something to not talk about and to just feel gross about. But it's so amazing to hear you speak about that. And thanks for the book recommendation. I've never heard of that book, but I'm definitely going to read it. Fascinating. No.
Everyone who reads it always messages me and is like, oh my God, thank you for recommending that book.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence, by the way, that these things about women's bodies have been clouded in shame. This has all been done super intentionally by the patriarchy and by like other influences that wanted to disempower women. I saw this awesome quote the other day. It was by Rupi Kaur, and I can't remember exactly, but I'll paraphrase. And it was something like, you want to hide the breast and the blood as if it wasn't what created you and fed you, right? So think about like women's nipples are always considered like shock, shock horror. Don't put that on Instagram, but not men's. Mm. And men's nipples don't do anything, whereas women's nipples feed everyone when they're born. And then you think about the blood, right? Like if a woman has a healthy period, it means that you're fertile and it means that you're then, you know, you can create life. And that's not to say that, you know, if you choose not to have kids that you're not like a real woman or anything like that, but just look at it. Like these are these awesome, amazing, powerful parts of the body, and they're sexualized when it suits men or for porn to make money. But God forbid you actually be proud of those parts of your body or see them as these beautiful parts just for you, right? It's not a coincidence. So I think like the most empowering thing you can do if you believe in women's rights and feminism or, you know, equality, or you want a safer world for women, is to actually start embracing this in yourself, have conversations about this with your friends, talk about this, even though it might feel really weird initially in your body to do that. And number one, like talk to your kids about this stuff. Talk to your kids about sex, about periods, about their bodies. Teach them that their bodies are for them, right? Because, you know, no one said any of that stuff to me. And so then my first experience was sexual abuse. Then I got my period. I was disgusted by it. I was ashamed of it. And I had to do all of this healing to basically rewrite and heal all of this stuff that had happened as a result of that. So you can bet your bottom dollar, my daughter, if I ever have a daughter, is going to have a full moon blood period ceremony to celebrate her. And she will know the correct names for her body parts. She will know what self-pleasure is. She will know that her body is for her first and foremost before it is for anyone else.
Yeah, no, that's it's amazing. I've heard quite a few spiritual leaders as well saying that they felt like this year was the rise of like the divine feminine. And there's been a lot of things going on in the news, especially just in 2021, like the Britney Spears documentary, obviously everything that's happened with Meghan Markle. She's a woman that's fully asserted her boundaries, stepped into her power, decided what she wants to do, and is getting slammed for it in the media. And that obviously with the police cases going on right now with Sarah, and that's bringing up so much pain for women who are now saying, well, I always feel unsafe at night, and this is what we always have to be scared of all the time, and that's not normal, we shouldn't have to feel like that. But there's so many things that have come up in just a short space of this year, that is so many women stepping out and speaking more and opening up and saying things. And we've had a lot of conversations about all these kind of things on our podcast that we didn't really address before. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Have you sensed like this in this year, like the rise of the divine feminine, like where do you see, I don't know, that kind of energy going like across the world? Because I just feel like there's a lot more women stepping into their power and really actually using their voices and saying what they think and how they feel about these certain things, way more than they have before. And it's so good to see. And it feels very healing for all of us as a collective.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the feminine has this aspect to it that is chaos, right? Like you often hear of the feminine spoken about as chaos, and like it's not chaos, I guess, in the way that we know it. It's not like, oh, like you're a crazy bitch and like your energy's like chaotic, but it's like this idea of like mess. Like look at you know, childbirth or your period or like being really primal when you go to Bali and you're like, don't brush your hair and you're like bare feet and you're dirty and you don't care because you're just connected to the earth. So it's like that kind of vibe. So as we move towards this more like organic structure of society and like this sort of new age of Aquarius, these older rigid ways, these older like patriarchal systems, toxic masculinity, even, you know, parts of capitalism, some of these things are starting to degrade. And what happens is with any revolution in society that we've ever seen, things have to kind of like collapse in order to be rebuilt. So I do think we're in a bit of a like descending into the chaos, collapsing kind of energy. You know, if we were to do like a tarot reading for the world, maybe it'd have like the death card and the tower card, and, you know, things are kind of crumbling away. And also when you have these really deep distortions and these like deep collective traumas, that when things come to the surface, it's very painful, right? It's very messy. Even if you look at your own healing, you don't wake up one day and go, oh, cool, like I've addressed the trauma yesterday, I feel good today. It's like things can almost feel worse before they feel better. So as more people are coming forward, as more women are stepping into their power, there is this surge of anger that you see as well. And it's justified, right? It's like not even just our own anger, it's collective anger, it's generational anger. And I guess we get a choice, as with every emotion, how do we channel it? So how do we take our anger and our rage, which is sacred, and how do we channel that into a powerful energy that moves something, that forces the hand of something, that changes something? And this is where we actually really need to embrace men in feminism and in women's empowerment, because as I was saying, like if you have so much feminine energy without any masculine, it's just all over the place, versus like if you just have masculine energy that distorts itself as toxic masculinity or patriarchal energy, that just creates chaos over there as well. It just creates distortion over there. So if we bring together the very rightful anger of a lot of feminine beings and we merge it with conscious men, with men who want to make a change with us, with men who adore the feminine, with men who adore women, who want them, who respect them, who have the very best for them in mind, that's where we'll create a change. So it is a good time for women to speak up. And it's also a good time for us to celebrate and call in more men, or to call more men into their consciousness, to teach them, yes, share your anger, but teach from a place of love rather than a place of blame, because there are men out there who want to help us. There are men who are not, you know, completely, you know, distorted or violent or, you know, creating these problems. How do we use the anger to create the change rather than just, you know, being angry at a whole gender of people and not directing that anger into a change? Because we all want to change, right? It's why we're angry. And I know different people have different views on this, and sometimes we have to really feel the anger first before we can get to that space, and that's okay. But it's my hope that we will use our voices and we will support other women like Meghan Markle, who use their voice, which many women are not supporting her right now, and that really pisses me off. And probably a lot of Brits who like love the monarchy and stuff like that. I've lived in the UK, but I'm not from the UK, which is a bit of a structure if you think about it. Like it is founded on colonialism, and you know, a woman has come forward to share her experience, and she's been questioned for that. Which, you know, there's a lot of things that are wrong with the whole situation, but. Women need to believe each other, and we also need to call in, you know, with love, men who can help us make the change, because we can't just make the change on our own. It has to be everyone in society. Yeah.
That is so interesting, the way you explain that, especially with like our emotions, because I feel like as well, like when you're a woman stepping into your power and you see things like the thing with Meghan Markle, you do automatically feel so angry. And I think what stops a lot of people is they don't know what to do with that anger. It's like, where do you put this? Where do you address it? But hearing you explain it like that is so refreshing. And it actually makes me think like, wow, what an amazing time to be alive. Where I feel like recently with everything, COVID, so many things uncovering, a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, you know, in that negative mindset. But actually, like you said, everything needs to fall apart before it falls back together. So I think it's actually a really exciting time to be alive.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Big changes, especially... if you look at it, right, like if more women have more power, a lot of structures, a lot of unwritten but very prevalent rules, and a lot of corporations even won't have the same level of power and influence, right? Mm. So there's a lot of at stake for a lot of people who don't want to give up their worldview or to give up the domination of one gender over another. Because it will not only shatter their belief systems, but will also like take power out of their hands and maybe money out of their wallet. So at the very least, and I mean, presumably your listeners are mostly like women or feminine beings, like we need to start supporting each other. So if you see another woman using her voice, instead of like automatically questioning it, give her the benefit of the doubt and ask deeper questions around it. You know, like the reaction that I've seen to Meghan Markle, I just like, it's been so polarizing, which I find, yes, I was angry about it, but I also like kind of am curious about it. I'm like interested by it. I'm like, wow, okay, so many people were not thinking of this in the same way that I was or seeing it in the same way. Why is that? Why are women leaving these nasty comments? Mm. Why are people questioning her? Why are people so quick to be so defensive about this? And when we ask these deeper questions, we can see these deeper issues and then we can start solving them instead of bickering on the internet about the very surface level like thing that's happening over here. And it's like getting into the roots of things rather than just rearranging all these pieces on the surface.
Yeah, I love how you've explained all of that. And I think seeing you show up how you do, like with what you've just been saying there and what you say online, like when you did the live about on International Women's Day and you were expressing your views on that, and you were saying about how we get angry because we get triggered from when we see women being bashed in the media the way that Meghan Markle did. And then when that Britney documentary came out, it stringed everything together and you could see clearly how she got pushed to that point and how wrong it was. You do feel that anger, but as a woman, you sometimes even feel shame for having the anger because you like what you were saying in that live, you want to, you subconsciously you want to play into that good girl image that you're made to feel as a woman you should be, because it's safe, you'll be loved if you are that good girl, if you're being just complacent, getting along, being quiet, and so even when you are stepping more into your power as a woman and you allow yourself to feel that anger, but then even when you let yourself feel it, you still feel that resistance of, oh, just like, should I even be saying this, because you feel like you should be being the silent woman that just isn't just, oh, whatever, everything's fine. So even just to speak up and say it isn't easy. And that's why I really admire you online, how you do show up and just say what you feel and what you think, because you doing that and you speaking your truth the same way that Meghan Markle did in that documentary. She spoke her truth regardless of that everyone in the world was going to say so many ridiculous things about her. She did it anyway, and she stood strong and did it. And that just allows so many other women, whether they might not realize it right now or maybe they'll realize it later, but that you, her, people like that speaking their truth, honoring their anger, and just allows the rest of us to do that, like to speak your truth, and it sets the rest of us free. And I admire you for doing that, how you show up online, and you inspire a lot of other women to do the same. It's really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I want everyone to know, like, just because I make it maybe look easy doesn't mean that it is. Yeah. Every time I do one of those lives where I get on and I'm emotional and I'm like, all right, I'm going to like channel this into a powerful message for people, I have to give myself the pep talk. I'll like sit there with the camera on me for a bit before like I hit, you know, to go live, and I'm like, okay, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? You know, and I get really clear. I'm like, what's the intention behind this? Because like, as someone who is a space holder, people come to my page for like, you know, inspiration. A lot of people have been going through a really hard time being in lockdown. A lot of my audience are in the UK. They've been in lockdown for over a year. And so I do think about that. I'm like, you know, that thing in your head that you get, oh, I don't want to be negative, or I don't want to be that angry woman that like everyone thinks is hysterical. But again, it's like, when you have a really strong emotion, ask yourself, like, can I channel this for good? This is what I do. I'm like, okay, I've been thinking about this Meghan Markle thing all day. It's pissing me off. You know, when you keep thinking about something when you're like in the shower, on the toilet, and you're like running the scenarios through your head of what you would say. And I was like, okay, clearly this is important to me because I'm thinking about it. Clearly I'm feeling emotional about it. So what I try and do is I like sit with the emotions for a bit so that I'm not in the very like heightened response of anger or sadness. And then I think about, okay, well, why is this so important to me that I'm having this reaction? And how can I use this to create power or get people thinking or get people asking questions? And, you know, there are people who had a different viewpoint who changed their minds after after seeing me speak. There are a lot of people who reshared the video. And, you know, I think it's important that we're a stand for each other to share our truth, you know, whether we like someone or we don't. Like if we see someone exercising their boundaries, even if we don't understand it, we should celebrate that they're in their sovereignty, right? Because, you know, it's only been like 50 years since women were even allowed to have a bank account and that rape was made illegal in marriage. So like, of course we feel afraid to be in our power because it's still new. Mm-hmm. But the more that we support each other, or at the very least, just don't like be a bitch to someone who's just doing what's best for them. Like at the very least, like if it's annoying you, just unfollow or like mute or just, you know, and it's not to say like don't speak your own voice or silence yourself because of someone else, but just think about when we talk to other women or when we talk to each other, is our communication coming from love, right? And you can still disagree and come from love, but it's different to like the vitriol that you see on the internet and on social media, which I don't think is constructive or like creating good emotions for anyone.
Yeah,
that was really, really interesting the way you explained that, especially with waiting a little while and sitting in the emotion. Because I think sometimes it's very easy to react from the emotion and then you're not really sure what's even coming out of your mouth. So I think that's really important to just take the time and think, why is this important to me? And then you can be like, why do you want to show up and how do you want to show up? But I honestly wish everyone in the world could hear this conversation because I think it's been so inspiring.
Yeah.
But I would really love to know, what is like one thing you wish all women knew?
How powerful we really are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that.
If women didn't exist, there'd be no one left on the planet, right? Like the human race would stop. So we do have the power. Right? We have the power. And the power is like in our own bodies. You know, the power is in your ability, like say there's some mums listening, you know, like I meet a lot of mums who are so hard on themselves and they judge themselves because like their breasts have gone saggy because they breastfed, or like they've got, you know, they don't like their tummy anymore, or they just feel like burnt out, or like they're never doing enough for their kids. And it's like, woman, look at you in your power. Like to be in your power doesn't mean that you won't feel tired or you won't be afraid. Like you're in your power because you're tired and afraid and you're doing the things you're doing anyway. I just wish women knew how powerful they were. And if they did, I feel like so many of the things that we struggle with, you know, eating disorders, relationship stuff, abuse, violence against us, like the amount of things that we could create in the world, the businesses that would be alive, the ideas, the innovations, like all of those things. And we all have so much to give and so much magic in a different way. But when we reduce ourselves to like, my power is how beautiful I am, or how accepted I am, or how popular I am, or how awesome my coffee table books look on my coffee table, like all of those things can just be like pieces of our reality. But I just wish every woman knew how powerful they were, and that power is inside of you and has nothing to do with how you look or, you know, how beautiful you are, or whether you got engaged when you were 29 years old, or like whatever, you know, all these things that we compare ourselves for. Her power is you. Right? Your soul.
That's beautiful.
That was very inspiring. Thank you so much, Amy. I've absolutely loved speaking to you today. It's been such an amazing conversation. I'm so glad. I feel honoured that you came on the show and spoke with us today. But we always end our episodes with a quote of the week. So we share like our favourite quote for the week that's related to the topic of what we've been speaking about. And when we have a guest on, we always want them to share like their favourite quote or like a current quote that you're loving at the minute. So what's your favourite quote that you want to share with the listeners?
Oh, I love a quote. I'm corny like that. I love a quote. I share a lot of quotes on my Instagram as well. Yeah. Always my own quotes. Wow. Well, let me maybe read one from my Instagram, because when I write them, I'm like channeling in the moment, you know, like I get the hit from God and I'm like, this is it.
Yeah, we love when you have us.
I wrote this one the other week and I loved this. So I was feeling real sassy. I think I was ovulating. So I wrote, like sunshine and fire, I am here to emanate my radiance. If it's too hot for your liking, go back to your own house. I don't need your permission to burn bright.
I think I saw that on your Instagram and I sent it to loads of my friends like, look at this. I love that quote. Thank you. That was so amazing. Good. thank you so much for your time, Amy.
Thank you, it was absolutely amazing. I feel like I'm going to have to listen to this back a few times to take it all in. Yeah. It's so good. Please can you let us know where our listeners can find you and your amazing services? Because I'm sure by now they're like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more from Amy. So yeah, where can they find you?
Well, hopefully I didn't trigger too many people because I know I can sometimes have that effect on people. I'm like a little bit bold. But if you want to come learn from those triggers or you're just like, hell yes, I'm into it, you can come and find me on Instagram. My Instagram is This Is Amy Rushworth. My website is amyrushworth.com. I've got the Amy Rushworth podcast. It's just all the same thing, really, just my name. you can't miss it. So those would be the places to come and play with me and find out about all my programs and my membership and stuff.
Okay, fabulous. Yeah, I feel like I don't think you will have really triggered that many of our listeners. We've got a really nice audience who are really like open and so curious about learning about things just like what you spoke about today. So I feel like you will have healed so many people just from your words today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We really hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did and took away so many little nuggets of wisdom in the same way that we did.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful conversation. So much power in it. And I hope you'll follow Amy on Instagram after this so you can connect with her further and just enjoy her goddess energy through Instagram. And also make sure you're following us on Instagram at Finding Your Feet Podcast. That's where we are every single day of the week. You don't need to wait until every Wednesday and Sunday to hear from us. You can connect with us every day on Instagram.
Yes, come and follow us on Instagram and let us know your thoughts on this episode. And also do not forget, there is only a few days left to get your tickets for the Self-Love webinar. The tickets will go off sale the day before, so don't forget.
Yes, so you've only got until Saturday the 20th to get your tickets, so don't miss out. Also, guys, don't forget on our website, we have got our range of meditations and affirmation playlists recorded and written straight from the soul by me and Abby. They're absolutely beautiful with the most stunning music behind them. They're all available on our website to download straight to your phone so you can start meditating and listening to amazing positive affirmations. I think we're going to add some more affirmations to the website. I feel like we need to add like a goddess energy affirmation to the website. I'm feeling very inspired after speaking to Amy, who has serious goddess energy. So yeah, there'll be some more going on the website soon as well. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, that will be amazing. We've so stepped into our goddess energy lately. So yeah, that'd be a perfect affirmation.
Yeah. And don't forget, guys, if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe and like the video. Maybe just leave us a comment so we can reply to you on YouTube if you're part of our YouTube fam. And if you're not and you'd love to watch these episodes on YouTube, we put all of our Wednesday episodes on our YouTube channel, Finding Your Feet. The podcast is our name. The link is in the show notes. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe and leave us a review for your chance to be featured in Review of the Week. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit follow so you always don't miss our episodes. We release them every single Wednesday and on a Sunday.
Also, guys, don't forget to sign up for our Monday morning mailing list. We literally love doing these emails. They're like a little download from the soul, and it's very different than anything else we put on Instagram or our captions or anything like that. It's like a little intimate part of our souls on your Monday morning. I don't know why you wouldn't want it, but the link's in the show notes if you'd love to sign up for that.
Yeah, everyone loves the emails. They always email us back like, oh my god, this has just changed my week. So get involved, guys, and sign up to our mailing list. We never spam you. It's literally just on a Monday morning some positive vibes. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. Really hope you enjoyed this chat and got a lot out of it. I know that me and Abby did. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.